Welcome to the Greater Church Podcast. We are praying that wherever you find yourself on the journey, that this message will be an encouragement and blessing to you. And now, here's today's message.
All right, I'm going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. And it says, "And so here I am." Now, mind you, it might seem a little different in your word because I'm reading from the Message version. Listen to what it says. "And so here I am, preaching and writing about things that are way over my head, the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. My task is to bring out in the open and make plain what God, who created all of this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. Through followers of Jesus like yourself, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels." If there is a verse that I can relate to, it's probably this one. And as we look at this verse, and we're going to unpack it in just a minute, but as you look at this verse, basically what Paul is saying in layman's term, and I wanted to drop it down just about 500 feet, because when Paul writes it in the King James, the New King James, it's about 20, 30,000 feet. And what he's saying is that I have the job of unpacking the mysteries of God. And the mysteries, if you break it down, is just the plan of God. So over the next few minutes, I want to talk to you from this idea, or from this title, Vision Test. Vision Test. I'm hoping you're writing, you're taking notes. Me and Don are going to talk to you from this idea, Vision Test. Come on, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to come before your presence, Lord. I pray that you would speak. We see your plan. The Christmas story was all about your vision, your plan, what you had in store for us, what you wanted to accomplish, Lord. And I'm grateful, Lord, that the obedience of your son was to start in a lowly state, Lord God, in this manger, Lord. And as we watch the story of Jesus develop, Lord, speak to our lives, Lord. Let us see ourselves in it and let us receive the practical handles, the tools that we need to be able to accomplish everything that you've asked us to do, Father. We love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray, Lord. Amen and amen. Come on, if you're expecting for a word from God, can you put your hands together? Come on, if you're in that text chat, would you put some hands up? If you're expecting for Jesus to do something, amen. Vision test. Hey, I'm a planner, Don. I'm a planner. If you know me, you know that I sit down and I strategize. I give names to everything, sometimes the corniest name. I put everything in, but like I try to, here it is who I am. If me and my wife are going to take a trip, and she hates this because I'm a procrastinated planner. Don't judge me. I'm a procrastinated planner. Here's what happens. If we're going on a trip, like me and my wife, we're going somewhere, what I would do is, On the day before we go, or maybe right before we get on the plane, I would write down the days that we're going to be there. And then when we write down the days that we're going to be there, like if it's a Monday, I know what I'm going to be doing that Monday. What I would do is that I need to make sure that I got underwear set, like a tank top, underwear, some socks. I will put one set, and then I will put clothes. And you know, you got to stay fresh. So I got two clothes that I got to put, two shirts and two pants for that day, because I got to have options. I don't know what I want to do. I might be, I may be feeling this way. I may be feeling this way. So I got to have options. And then I put shoes. And that's where the problem therein lies with me and my wife, because my shoes, I have a problem with them. I used to have a problem with them. I no longer have a problem with them, because the way to achieve or to purchase those shoes no longer is the same. Praise the Lord. But what I would do is I'll plan all this stuff out. And if we're going somewhere, like I'm trying to put, like, you're going to go here, we're going to visit this. And for some of my friends who have gone on trips and stuff with me, they know that I have a saying that is, this is what we're going to do. And it's like, we're going to go here, we're going to do. And it's always like, I'm always planning and strategizing. And I always have like this way that I want to do something. Some of y'all planners, y'all know what I'm talking about. And then when God destroys your plan, the age old saying, right? You want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And I have all these plans, and here's what we're going to do. And I have a 2-month plan, and a 3-month plan, and a 1-year plan, and a 3-year plan, and a 5-year plan. And I feel like in this last season, what has happened to me is that I have highlighted all my plans and hit delete. Because God has completely shifted everything. And what I thought I'd be doing, God is like, shut up. Just walk with me. Why? Because God is smarter than me. How many of y'all know that? Praise God. You're not offending me by saying that. God is a lot smarter than me. And here's the thing, is that my plans serve God's plans. that God actually had a plan for your life. Did you know that? That this entire thing that we're doing right now, even being inside of this church, whether you're on site or you're watching online, that this is a part of God's plan. That wasn't invented by Drake. That was actually God's idea. That all through scriptures, one of the scriptures that I was going to kind of allude to in this season was that God had a vision. And this vision, the first time that you see Jesus mentioned is in Genesis chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, where Adam and Eve sin against God. And God comes in there. In that moment, he begins to construct the plan. And he speaks to the serpent first, and he tells the serpent, and you'll have enmity between you and her. And her seed will step on your head, and you will bruise his heel. That seed was talking about Jesus. Outside of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, and the Bible says that they hovered over the water, and then he said, and let us. That word us, it talked about the triunity of God, or the triune God, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. This is where you see the first picture of Jesus. But then when you walk into chapter 3, the embodied form of who Jesus would be is where you first see this thing at. In Jesus chapter 3, he says, and the seed, that seed was Jesus. The seed form, which is what we celebrate, right? Baby Jesus, the manger scene, what's going to be happening here in the next few weeks, in 12 days, that we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Yo, do you understand that this wasn't just a baby that was going to come in the flesh and it was just like, yeah, baby's there. No, this actually, there was a plan behind this. It was strategic in the way that God was doing. God had a vision, and a vision that he wanted to actually bring about. But man, as we know, Don, there's not a lot of vision without tests.
Yeah, that's true. It's interesting because a couple weeks ago, I was having a conversation with one of the homies, Gio. Gio, man, he's
Gio, what up? If you're watching online, we miss you.
What's good, man?
Hearts for you. Gio, we miss you. Come on, how many of y'all love Gio? Make some noise for Gio. We love you, Gio.
Yeah, nice, man, Gio's the brother. And we were having a conversation about this year, 2020. And in the conversation, we started just talking about so many other things. But literally, he brought up how he believed that this year was a year of vision. But actually, more than that, it was a year of tests. And in that moment, it made me think to myself, yo, what is vision without a test? You know, when people see me, they usually see me with my glasses on. And my glasses, it's not for fashion. It's actually because it's prescription. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I take these off, I can't really see. Like, yo, is that Jason or is that Nunzi? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me? Like, I really can't
Same,
see that far.
Bro.
Like, honestly.
Same.
And it's interesting. My fault, Nunzi. But I'm telling you, I really can't Same. See that far. But anytime I go to the ophthalmologist, the eye doctor, I have to take an eye exam. And in that eye exam, I have to read those letters on the wall. And based on how well I do, the doctor gives me what my vision is. You know, it's funny because a couple weeks ago or so, I had to take an eye exam. And in that eye exam, the doctor, the dude, he was like telling me to, you know, go ahead and do it. And I started reading and I read the letters and I was on that last one and I was confident. I said, yo, that's a C. He said, no, that's a P. I said, what? What? And I said, he said, yeah. I said, oh, okay. But my the interesting God. Thing is that with the test, there actually has to be a vision because the test determines where your vision is.
Yeah.
The test determines where your vision is. We got a couple people here who love working out. We got Quincy in the building. You know what I'm saying? Personal trainer. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mimi out there working
yeah.
out, working and getting it all
Nunzi,
the time.
Nunzi
you know what I'm saying? Nunzi. You know what I mean? Like
walking
people
around
who actually understand it.
In the spirit.
Exactly. Like they understand this concept of working out. That there's going to be a resistance when you work out. And it's interesting because in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the word test defines as and to prove by trial. And if you break it down, trial means to test the person's endurance. And when you're working out, you're going to have to go through that endurance. Literally, there's a resistance that you're going through. To be able to get those strong muscles, you got to work out. You know what I mean? Because look, without the test, there's no vision.
That's right.
There's no vision.
That's right. When you think about the thought of what a vision is, right? So obviously, we're unpacking what it looks like for God to have a vision, God's plan. Like, this is what God's vision and God's plan was for humanity. Not only for you specifically, which I love God. God is a sniper in the sense that he can hit you directly where you are. That's why you will walk into a service and you'll receive a word that you're like, yo, somebody told him about my business. Somebody told him about what I did. Somebody talked to him about me. And he can direct it, but he also uses it like a shotgun, which he hits so many people. While you getting slain in the Holy Ghost and God talking about you, God is speaking to you about something that you're personally going through right now, or maybe you've gone through when you were 13. There is a person who's probably sitting right next to, and God is saying the complete opposite, but yet it's the same word, because God has a vision. And the way that he accomplishes the vision most of the times is that he uses human beings. So the vision, the dreams, the things that you have in your heart, a lot of times, and most of the time, I'm hoping that you would submit those things under the vision of God and understand that that dream that God has given you, it's going to serve a higher purpose, but it's still going to be submitted to the very same tests. When we look at the picture of Jesus and who Jesus was, Jesus, there's three levels of a test. And you can probably come up here and preach 17 levels of a test. But for the sake of today with vision tests, I believe that there's three, as far as I've seen them in my own personal life, there's three levels to a test that test your vision. The first level is always going to be at the very beginning of a vision. It's when you decide, I'm going to finally write that song. Or I'm finally going to write this book, or I'm finally going to start this, or I'm going to go to the gym, or I'm going to start getting my health back in order. I'm going to start working out. It's when you decide, yo, I'm going to do something, that at that very moment, when you decide, I'm going to get up and I'm going to start praying in the morning. It's at the very beginning of this vision that you have that you're going to notice the most opposition. That's when you quit the fastest. That's when the vision, you forget it. That's when you have the most, oh man, maybe I shouldn't do. That's when your insecurities. That's when the person that lies to you the most, yourself, begins to disqualify you from actually taking that step. It's at the very beginning that you receive the most opposition. Is that not the picture in the life of Jesus? That when Jesus was born, that the angel had to tell his father, yo, Joseph, I need you to take Jesus, Mary, and I need y'all to go to Egypt. Because what's happening now is the Herod is looking to kill you. And the Bible says that every child that was under the age of 2 years old was killed in that season because the three wise men went to Herod and told him, hey, where's the king? And he said, yo, go tell him where I'm at. And then the three wise men went the other way. Read the Christmas story. It's better than Jerry Springer. And they went the other way. And then all of a sudden he killed everybody who was there. That's not only in Jesus' life. If you pull back the tape, Moses' life was the very same way. Moses' parents had to put him in a basket and throw him in the water because they were going to kill every child. At the very initiation of the church of Jesus Christ is where you see the most persecution. You know, in my own personal life, every vision, everything that I've had, yo, me and my wife were like, hey, babe, let's start a church. And she was like, no. I was like, okay, God will. But then when we were both on board and we both said, okay, we'll respond to your call. And we finally made the decision of planting a church. It was in that season that my daughter had polysplenia. And for many of you have heard the story, and half of her heart, she's in Lydia's belly, and we're sitting at a doctor's office. And it's like, yo, we can't figure out why her heartbeat is so low. And half of her heart was developed and the other one wasn't. And here it is that I'm thinking, yo, my child, my baby girl, the first girl that I've been praying about is probably not going to make it. And thoughts running through my head. And, yo, my son, I remember we go to a doctor right before we came up here. All hell broke loose, y'all. Right before we came up here, my son takes a blood test. And they begin to tell him, hey, he's very low in this area. And, you know, as a parent, you know, I just prayed. Nope. I went on Google and I found out what that area was and what that vitamin does. And he had, in my mind and what I read in Google, he had cancer. He had AIDS. He'd been a drug addict for 45 years. Like, and the doctor told me, we'll talk on Monday, bro. That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I was praying in the spirit, crying, fasting, asking God. And then on Monday, we called him back and he was like, oh, no, it's totally fine. He just needs to go out in the sun. But when I tell you that all hell broke loose on us at the very beginning of this thing called Greater Church, financially, mentally, in our marriage, in my personal life, it's because the biggest attack is always going to come at the very beginning. If you can push, here's the hope, y'all. If you can push through the very beginning, you'll get to the middle of the attack. And the middle of the attack is when it gets intense and it starts getting stronger. And the middle of the attack is where you start noticing that this thing that you're doing sucks and that you should quit. When you parallel this with Jesus, Jesus has been living for 33 years. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, this man says to God, Jesus says to God, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Yo, do you understand what that means? That literally means, Don, Lord, let this cup pass from me. If Don go to hell, that's on him. I don't care. Lord, I don't want to do this. Yo, have you ever thought about that? That's what Jesus was saying. It was like, let them all fry. Let this cup pass, Lord. I don't want to deal with this, because he understood what was happening. And yet, though he understood and though he knew the magnitude of the pain that he was about to endure, yet for the pain of the cross, he still chose you. He still went with it. He still allowed for himself to be crucified, to be beat. Even though he knew he was going to suffer, he had you in mind. Yo, so when you think about the test, there's always going to be this moment that's going to tell you, yo, that's it. Like, quit. Like, this is stupid. Why did I start this business? Like, yo, why did I take this step? It feels like I jumped. If I can encourage you, I read this story yesterday or day before yesterday. And it's this story in Armenia where these guys, there was this huge wall. And they had to cross the wall to be able to go eat and to get fruit and to gather stuff because they didn't have money. But the wall was so high and it took so much effort for them to climb the wall that one day, one of the guys decided, you know what I'm going to do? My hat, which we're talking about in freezing cold, covers your head. This is where all your temperature's at, but your ears. His hat that kept them warm. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to throw my hat over the wall. So that way I have to climb. It's not that I can quit. It's not that I can't do it. I'm going to throw my hat over the wall and make sure that we got to get on the other side. And everybody started grabbing their hats and throwing them over the wall as they would climb because they had to get to the other side. In your life, can I give you a word of encouragement, whether you're on site or watching online, throw your hat over the wall. Commit to whatever it is that God has given you full-heartedly. Don't allow for the enemy to lie to you. Don't allow for him to discourage you. You might be right in the middle of that vision that God gave you. Throw your hat over the wall, man. Make it to where you can't turn back. That's what we're doing. We're not turning back. I don't care if one of y'all sit here and everybody's online or if everybody logs off and goes watch Stephen Furtick. We're still going to be preaching. You can be right here Sunday at 11:30. We're still going to be doing the same thing because we've thrown our hat over the wall. There's that middle test and then the strongest attack, I believe, that comes is that last test. You ever noticed? And maybe you've gotten on the other side and you've experienced some type of breakthrough. Like God has done something where you've got, hallelujah, you got the breakthrough. You know, like you felt it. Like, you know what that breakthrough, did you ever notice that right before the breakthrough was like the hardest moment ever? It felt like the darkest of night. That was a moment where you felt like, yo, why am I doing this? What is going on? Can I tell you that in that moment, that's where you got to push. When all hell and all opposition has risen up against you, don't get scared and rebuke the devil and be like, oh my God, it's my life. And I'm like, yo, in that moment, get a little excited. Yeah. Be excited because in trials, understand that it's going to produce faith in you. And if faith have its perfect work, can I tell you that the very things that God has said he's going to accomplish in you, the vision that you have is going to come to pass.
Yeah.
Jesus, the Christmas story, it's all about the baby in the manger.
Yeah.
But in just a few months, we're going to talk about the flip side of it. And we're going to talk about Easter. And we're going to talk about Jesus being nailed up to a cross. And what looked like a loss, as the young people say, what looked like an L. In the moment where Jesus was there, lifeless body, a spear has been thrust through his side. Water and blood has come out. He's been thrown into a cave. A rock has been put in there. You would think that that's the end. But yo, just on the other side of those 3 days was the most beautiful miracle. The reason why today at Greater Church, Guatemalan, Mexican, Black, Cuban, Puerto Rican, Haitian, Dominican, Honduran, all of us together, we are here because on the opposite side of the grave came Jesus with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He resurrected. His life brought power and authority to us. It was at the biggest attack that brought about the biggest victory. It's always right before the night is about to break that you're going to have the worst moments, that your husband's going to get on your nerves, that your wife's going to get on your nerve, that the money's going to look funny. Those are the moments that you need to push through it because though it is a test, it's all about the vision.
Yeah.
God has a vision. He had it through Jesus. There's going to come opposition at the very beginning. Yeah. Push through it. There's going to come opposition in the middle where you're going to want to quit. Push through it. There's going to come opposition at the very brink, right before you're about to cross the threshold. Some of my mentor, Matt Keller, says it's the threshold of scary. But if you're able to jump over the threshold of scary, I promise you, you're going to see the vision, the purpose, the destiny, the things that God has for your life. It's on the other side of your courage. It's on the other side of your quit. If you came today for a word, here's the word. It's too early to quit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's too soon to quit.
Yeah.
Just wait a little bit longer. Just wait a little bit longer. It's way too soon to quit. And I think when we talk about this, could you imagine if God shows you everything that's going to happen? Like, here's the beginning. I'm going to knock your head off at the beginning. And then in the middle, I'm going to stab you four times. And then at the end, when you're on the ground, I'm going to just kick you. Yo, we would say, heck no, close the book chapter. I'm going to work at Starbucks. If God shows us the vision, we probably would never go for it.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's crazy because recently I just went through my own test. If you know me, you know that I'm an actor and a producer. And recently, I just, thank you.
Don Demetrius.
Recently, we just produced a short film called On Trees. And man, I believe it was God, man.
A different
really,
On Trees.
You know what I'm saying?
On Trees.
Exactly. And it was amazing how everything came about. Jordan came through. He helped. And man, I'm thankful for his life. And I'm really just thankful for what God really did in that season. We actually made that film to get into Sundance Film Festival. Sundance Film Festival is one of the best film festivals in the entire world. The entire world. You get your film in that film festival and your career has the possibility to change for the better. I'm actually witnessing that right now for a friend of mine. Her name is Keisha Ray Witherspoon and she is talented, gifted, and she literally is, her career is changing right now. She allowed me to be a part of her film, a short film that played at Sundance earlier this year in January. And she shared with me how certain things are moving and it's amazing. Man, so I'm just like, wow, that's powerful. And the funny thing is, for the film that we made called On Trees, literally, we were like, yo, we can do the same exact thing. Because we got the resources, we got the people, you know what I'm saying? We got everybody to come on board with this. And yet,
as some of y'all may know, Don lives with me.
Yeah.
Don actually lives with us. And I watched this entire process. He left, he came back, he was on 100. Oh my God! You don't understand the movie? He's showing me every version of the movie. I saw the beginning version where the heads were cut off. I saw the final version. I saw the 17th final version film or graphic design people. You know what that means? _14. I see all of that. So the excitement that he's talking about was huge.
Yes, like I was excited, like super excited. And the interesting thing, we got the film submitted. So on December 7th was the notification of whether or not we were going to be accepted. So that whole week of December, I'm checking my emails, trying to figure out, yo, where's Sundance? You feel me? Like, where is it? And December 7th, which was a Monday, I'm at work and I'm looking through my email and I can't find anything. So I'm like, all right, you know what? Let me just type this in. Let me just type Sundance. I find Sundance. They actually sent the email on December 4th. December 4th, I was like, ooh, favor ain't fair, buddy. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? 3 days early, your boy. Hey, they love this movie. And this is the email that they sent me. They said, "Dear Don, on behalf of our entire programming team, I would like to thank you for allowing us to consider your film for the 2021 Sundance Film Festival. Unfortunately, it did not make it into our lineup this year." When I read that, I was discouraged. I felt a whole weight just drop on me. It hurt. It hurt so much so, while I was at work, I asked my boss if I can go home early. I didn't feel like talking to anybody. I didn't feel like even talking to Jesus. What came to my mind was like, yo, like where can I go that Jesus isn't there? And the interesting thing about the test, though, is that sometimes we don't want to go through the test because of what we've experienced, the perceived loss, the perceived rejection. I was sitting on a rejection, expecting something to happen where I was actually rejected. Well, what do you do in that moment? Do you still believe? Do you still have faith? You know, the interesting thing about it is that David in the Bible, he welcomed the test that God was actually giving him. In Psalms 26, verse 2, it says, he says to the Lord, "Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind." Test my heart and my mind? Is it easy really to go through tests? Especially when you've gone through certain losses? You know what I mean? It hurt. It really did hurt. But at the same time, I was reminded that God is with me. You know, the interesting thing that I would say about that is that the test, it shows you where you're at and it makes you better. Just like in the example that I gave earlier about the eye exam, when I take my glasses off and when I'm doing that exam, the doctor is able to tell me where I stand in my vision. And even though I may read a letter wrong, he's able to tell me what it is. And he's able to give me what will make my vision better. He gives me the glasses. He gives me the frames. He gives me what will make my vision better. And the trials, they don't mean that God isn't with me. God is right there with me. In Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous?"
Come on, that's right.
"Do not be discouraged, for I will be with you wherever you go." God is with us. Even in the trials and the disappointments and discouragement, he's with us. He's there. It doesn't mean that your dream isn't going to happen. Just because it didn't happen doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Woo.
Just because I experienced loss.
That's a whole word right there. Doesn't mean I'm gonna experience pain. Say that again for the ones in the back.
Just because it didn't happen doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Woo.
Just because I experienced loss doesn't mean I'm not going to experience gain. Just because I experienced death doesn't mean I'm not going to experience life. Just because Pastor Chino preached an amazing word a couple weeks ago. He preached about the four friends having faith for their friend to get into Jesus. Just because they couldn't get in through the front door didn't mean they weren't going to get in.
Mm.
Just because it didn't happen doesn't mean it's not going to happen for you. God has his timing and everything that he wants to do for your life. And I believe that. I really do. Like, I'm standing on his promises. And you know, the interesting thing that I could say is that, look, I know I have movies inside of me. I have TV shows inside of me. I have so much inside of me. But it will come out in a timing when Jesus wants it to come out.
Come on, that's right.
To advance his kingdom. It's not about me. It's about others and helping others. And the very thing, the same thing for you. Whatever plans and purpose he has for you, he's going to bring it about.
That's right.
There's books in you that he wants to come out. There's organizations he wants to fund through you. There are people that he wants to reach through you. He wants to do that through you.
That's right.
He wants to feed the homeless through you. He wants to be able to get people off the streets through you. He wants to show a dying world that there is a loving and alive Savior through you, that there are faithful husbands and faithful wives and loving families that are a representation of Jesus Christ through you. But are you willing to go through the test? Are you willing to go through the test? The test, they're not always easy. It hurt. It really did hurt. But guess what? Stand on the promises of God.
That's right.
You know, I think, as I think about it right now, you know, it hurts because you dream for something, right? Like, you hope for something so much, right? But it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. You just got to trust in them.
That's right.
Yeah, God is going to come through in every one of our lives. You just got to believe in him. That's it.
Right.
Sometimes I can get emotional about the very things that I'm passionate about.
That's right.
But there's a reason for it. And God's going to come through.
That's right. Here's what. That's right. Right there. Is that right there? That's it right there.
And I'm reminded because of Romans 8:28. It says that, and we know in all things God works together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's the encouragement right there. That's
right.
The encouragement.
It's when you talk about what do I need? What do I need? What's the key? The key is always faith, right? Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance, like you can feel it, of things hoped for and the evidence. I don't see it, but I know it's there, of things not seen, right? So faith is the very thing that when you marry Hebrews chapter 11 with Romans 8:28 and you put them together, the baby that comes out of that, for all things work together to those that love God and are called according to his purpose, the New Living Translation, it says according to his plan. Right? When you marry these two things, is that you have to have faith. And when you have faith, God brings about his plan. So here's what it means. It means that your vision needs to be submitted to God. It means that your dreams need to be submitted to God. Here's what that means. It means that whether he never gets in Sundance, whether our church stays here and we don't ever plant any other churches, I'm confident. And I'm content in the space that God has given me. Whether I become a millionaire or a hundredaire, I'm content. Whether I'm able to go or I'm not, all things work together for the good. The good might not look good to you. It didn't look good to Jesus. When you look past the manger and the birth and Christmas, it's beautiful. Yo, when you look past the Christmas story, it's beautiful. But when you look at the Christmas story, it's pretty scary. A 14-year-old girl is pregnant without having sex. The entire family has ostracized. They're walking by themselves. She comes and has baby. She has the baby in a pig stall. Like, yo, there wasn't no hotels. They didn't go to a family's house. Yo, if you look past the Christmas story, it's beautiful. But if you look at it, it's pretty tough. Can I tell you that looking at your dream, looking at your vision, looking at the purpose that God has for you, it may not look golden and unicorns and rainbows. It may not look gold. It may look like a no from a place that you wanted a yes from. It may look like you don't got enough for the finances. It may look like you don't have enough health. You don't have enough time. But can I tell you that if you don't give up, if you continue to work, like we'll hear from Don being in a Sundance, and we'll watch him walk through the stage on the Oscars, grabbing his Oscars. I just want to thank Greater Church. You better thank Greater Church. Yeah. We're going to watch all those things. But here's the one thing that I know. That if he doesn't or he does. That if I don't or I do. And that if you don't or you do. That we still love God. That we're still called according to his purpose. His purpose may look different. His purpose may look like you end up somewhere in a remote village preaching the gospel. And just because we got the cute lights and the air and AC, it may look like you're in a shack preaching and you might reach a family of four. That's the purpose and the plan that God will work all things out for the good of your life. My God he's bigger than the vision. He's bigger than the finances. He's bigger than the dream. He's bigger than Sundance. He's bigger than the Oscar Academy. My God and his purposes are so much more bigger. His dreams, his love, so much bigger for you. The cornerstone, or the kind of pivoting verse, or the pivoting word in this verse, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For all things work to the good of those who love God and are called according to his plan or his purpose. The pivoting verse, or the thing that makes it, the mechanics, the gears, the gasoline that gives it life, is for those who love God. And for some of us in this room, we may have an understanding of who God is. Or maybe you've heard about God, and maybe you walked in and you still haven't had this love, if you're honest. If you can check off, yo, I love God, that's something that you probably can't check off. Can I tell you that that's something that can happen in a split second? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth, that you shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that you shall be saved. It's in salvation that love begins to spark. Some of us think that we got to fall in love with God and we got to stop doing all these things and we got to eliminate everything. And then all of a sudden, it's like you come to God. You're incapable of loving God. You're incapable of stopping X, Y, and Z by yourself. You have to come to the knowledge of Jesus. You have to accept him. You have to invite him into your heart. The moment that you do, everything changes. Everything changes.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. The mission of Greater Church is to reach and empower all people. And we hope that this message met you wherever you find yourself on the journey. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, please head to our website at www.greater.church, where you can read a message from our pastors, partner with us by giving online, and learn more about what is happening in the life of our church. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on all social media platforms at MyGreater.